Every believer has a voice, and it's the voice of victory.
My God has made a way for me.
Hello, everybody. I'm Kenneth Copeland, and you're in class this morning at Kenneth Copeland Bible College, and we're having a good time. Aren't you having a good time? Yes. Hey, I want to tell you something. This is a fun place to be. This is not some old boring school where you just sit there and, they're going to go through this again. Oh. No. We have a lot of fun. Father, we thank you today for your word, your covenants. We are very covenant-minded. You're a covenant work establishing, a covenant-keeping God. The covenants of blood, the blood of animals, then the blood of men through circumcision, and then the precious blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. He is our Lord, our Savior, our healer, our baptizer, and our soon coming King. And we thank you and praise you for him. And we thank you and praise you for these students and all of our students online and all that are watching all over the world. Bless them in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, we're talking about, as we said yesterday, the importance, the necessity, in order to be obedient to the commander-in-chief and his ministry. Jesus. What is he known for? The healer. I mean, the healer. A lot of Christians, a lot of them, are not aware that he was a preacher. He had to preach because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Well, it was God and it was manifested in the flesh, and he was preaching. Glory to God. Now, we mentioned yesterday that he was baptized in the Jordan. Now, when he became 30, it was time for him to enter into his ministry on the earth. The word ministry comes from the word administration. So his administration, his ministry was as God manifest in the flesh. So he had to follow the ways and commandments. Now remember, Elizabeth became pregnant 6 months before Mary did. Remember that? So then the two of them spent their pregnancies together. So John, his last name wasn't Baptist. Jesus' last name was not Christ. But he preached baptism. So John was known for what he preached, and he preached water baptism. Amen. Amen. Now you come over into the New Testament, water baptism is extremely important. Your eternal salvation does not rest upon it, but your obedience does. Yes. Amen. Amen. And if you got baptized when you were, you know, 5, maybe it'd be a good idea for you to do it again. And right up here, you can't see it right now, but the baptismal is in there and it has water in it right now. It always has water in it. Amen. So, anyway, or we can use the lake. I suggest you wait a little while before you do that. Very important. Because you go to the book of Hebrews and it talks about baptisms. Baptism in water, baptized in the Spirit of God, and baptized into the body of Christ. So, anyway, we come to the book of Luke, and this is Luke's account in chapter 10. After these things, the Lord appointed or ordained other 70 also. Now, there's 12. But, this thing has grown to the point where the 12 can't handle it. They're working night and day, and there are other people following him, and they're all, but hey, it is just overwhelming. So he needs some more help. So he calls 70. Amen. He calls 70 more. So now he's in the business of ordaining 70 more. So let's look at this. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place where he himself would go. He had a team, an advanced road team. They went in and took some of the pressure off him. So they had to be doing what he did. So he's ordaining them into his ministry, and we're going to answer something right here that has been a source of misinformation for centuries. That is so good here. Therefore, he said unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. I need help, boys. Pray ye therefore that the Lord of harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. I mean, you guys, there's 70 of you, but we need more. We need more. Well, I'm here, Lord, send me. Go your way. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. Now listen. Carry neither purse nor scrip nor shoes and salute no man by the way. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. You must remain in poverty for it to do you any good. Words just fail me when people come up with something like that. They just went to work for him. There is no one on staff at KCM. There is no one on staff at EMIC for nothing. Jesus had already said, a workman is worthy of his hire. When he brought in the original 12. Okay. He said the same thing he said to these people. Oh, yes, they had to be poor. They were not poor in the first place. Right. He called them. He ordained them. He supplied them. Do you have any idea that they wore the same clothes for 3.5 years? No. Do you think Jesus never changed clothes? Religion is a hard taskmaster. Read it. Think about it. Meditate on it. Read the whole thing, not just little bits here and there. Right here in the book of Luke, right before he left, he said, and I'm paraphrasing, when I told you not to take your money and all of that, did you lack anything? They said, no, Lord, we lack nothing. Okay, he said, now take more clothes. In other words, you're on your own now. You've spent 3.5 years with me. I've taught you how to prosper. I've taught you how to do these things. Now, you were wealthy before you got into this. You were a wealthy fisherman. And Matthew, well, you know, but anyway, but he was a tax collector. And there was not a poor man among that bunch. And they prospered. You want me to tell you how I know? If I didn't know any other thing. These are Orthodox Jews. All of them tithe. Because God said in the book of Malachi, will you rob God? You rob, they said, how did we rob you? In tithes and offerings. Therefore, bring all of the tithe into my storehouse, saith the Lord of hosts, the Lord of the angelic armies. Angels are involved in every word of this Bible. Amen. Angels were there before this book was written, and angels will be there forever, ever, 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 and ever, and a long time after that. Amen. Amen. Praise God. There are angels in this room today. Thank you, Jesus. Now then, now notice, Tim, how many, where am I on time? Okay. Now, notice what he said. He sent them out, and he said, go your way, I send you forth, no shoes, salute no man by the way, and into whatsoever house you enter, first say, peace be to this house. And if the Son of Peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it. So there's authority in this job. If not, it shall return to you again. And in the same house remain eating and drinking such as they give you. For the laborer is worthy of his hire. Go not from house to house. And into whatsoever city you enter and they receive you, eat such things that are set before you and heal the sick therein and say unto them, the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. Verse 16, he that hears you hears me. He that hears you hears me. Yeah, are you listening? He that hears you hears me. He that despises you despises me. What do we know about when he himself preached at Nazareth? There he could do no mighty works in his own hometown because of their unbelief. They refused to believe him. Well, who does he think he is? He's just a hometown boy. Now, I'll give you a personal thing about this. I did not want to come back to Fort Worth. I wanted to stay in Tulsa. In fact, my landlord there was also a lawyer, and I had him draw up the Kenneth Copeland Evangelistic Association papers in the state of Oklahoma. I wanted to stay right there where I first entered into the will of God at Oral Roberts University. And the Lord would not have it. I had no idea that I was going to wind up flying over a former Marine Air Base of World War II and wind up owning the thing as a ministry. But you're sitting in on that ground right now. But some of my kinfolk said, do you think Kenneth is a prophet? And the one to whom he was speaking said, yes, he is. Why, he's our kinfolks. Is there anybody in here that does not have any kinfolks? If you were born into this world, you have kinfolks. Yeah. Yes, Some of them are good. Well, your family tree. Brother Hagin said, well, something like that. He said, some family trees never produced anything but a bunch of nuts. That's not my family tree. Not at all. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Now, verse 17, the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. Well, now, what had happened? That's what he told them. But what was the first thing he said? Verse 9, and heal the sick that are therein, and say, the kingdom of God has come nigh unto you. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done.
Did his kingdom come?
Yes.
Yes. When Jesus got here, but not only then, when he was raised from the dead on the day of Pentecost, on the day of Pentecost, all of the angels that had been reserved in heaven under the former covenant, all of them were released, and they all, including the Spirit of God Himself, into this atmosphere. And when that happened, I am totally convinced, and have been for 50 years, that the noise that they heard was that rush of angels coming into this atmosphere. And I believe you heard it anyway. I believe the Native Americans that were over here heard this loud noise. Wonder what in the world that was. Jacob's ladder no longer exists. Angels coming to and fro. They came. And all that were created to be in this earth are here, assisting you and assisting me. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those that are heirs of salvation? You go into the second chapter of the book of Hebrews, that letter originally did not have those numbers in it. If we neglect such salvation, what? By the angels. Well, hallelujah. Glory to God. Jesus, I give unto you power to tread, or authority, to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all of the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Verse 21, or verse 20, notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hidden these things from the wise and the prudent, and hast revealed them unto babies. Even so, Father, for it has seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered to me of my Father, and no man knows who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and he to whom the Son shall reveal him. He has revealed him to us as truly our Heavenly Father. How are we on time? 4 minutes. Whew, a lot can happen in 4 minutes. Glory to God. All right. Let's back up now to Luke 4. Now, in Luke 3:16, John answered, saying unto them all, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I cometh the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. Oh, now you come to the fourth chapter. Being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led being full. Brother Copeland, this is Bible. Being full. Was he not full of the Spirit when he was born of the Spirit? No. The Spirit was born in him. A holy thing was conceived in Mary's womb. When you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit hovered over you. And a holy thing was born in you because your spirit was recreated in His image. Yes. Same Holy Spirit, same Word of God. Yes. But now, wait a minute. The fruit of the Spirit is in there. But what happened to you when He baptized you in and with the Holy Spirit? You stepped into another dimension and you became what is called full gospel. The Holy Spirit within became the Holy Spirit upon. Right? All right. Now then, let's come on down. Then he went into the desert and stayed there for 6 weeks being tempted of the devil. And he ate nothing. And it said afterward, he hungered. That's when the devil came to him. Now, that's when starvation sets in. It's a hunger that's beyond any kind of natural hunger because your body begins to feed upon itself. And begins to feed upon its own organs. It's a starvation hunger. That's when the devil said, turn these stones into bread and eat. And he wouldn't do it. So he went at him 3 times and lost. And now Jesus, in the 14th verse, returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. Into the power. Now he's been baptized in the Spirit. Verse 18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach. Glory to God. The first anointing is anointing to preach.
Yes. Praise God.
The anointing to preach. I said the anointing to preach.
Yes.
Glory to God. And we're out of time. We'll take it up again here tomorrow. Glory to God. Hey, everybody, we'll be back in just a moment.
You're called by God to be an overcomer. When your life is operating on His Word, you can't help but thrive. Believers should be the most powerful people on the planet, sharing God's healing and salvation everywhere they go. Learn how God has already called and empowered you to live like Jesus with Kenneth Copeland's teaching, Healing and Love on MP3. Jesus said that His words are life. Get His word into your spirit by speaking it out in faith and let His love transform you. When you learn to walk in His love, you'll overcome sickness and disease every time. God is absolute life, so nothing to do with death can ever be in Him. He desires for you to prosper and be in health, spirit, soul, and body. In fact, God loves you so much, He made healing as much a part of your salvation in Christ as eternal life. Be transformed by the power of His Word and become an agent of God's healing and love.
God anointed Jesus with power to heal the sick and walk in supernatural power because He operated in God's love. Find out more when you request Kenneth Copeland's audio series, Healing and Love. Receive your copy free on kcm.org/victory offer or when you call 877-615-4267. Offers good for 60 days. Outside of the United States, shipping charges may apply. Contact your regional office for more information.
John 3:16 says this, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Now, in that scripture, Jesus is called the only begotten Son of God. But when Jesus was raised from the dead, He defeated the devil, He stripped him of his power, and Jesus is now called the first begotten Son. It was God's desire through Jesus' work of redemption that many sons be brought to glory. God wanted His family. Jesus made a way for you and for me to become part of His family. Jesus has made us the righteousness of God in Christ, and now we can stand in the presence of the Most High God without any guilt or shame or condemnation. It all starts with making Jesus the Lord of your life. Pray this with me out loud. Heavenly Father, I receive Jesus as my Lord and my Savior. Take my life and do something with it, and I will serve You all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Now, as a born-again child of God, you have legal right to all that Jesus' name provides. You have legal right to the peace, the victory, the healing, the provision, everything. Think about it. The Most High God is your heavenly Father, and Jesus is the King of all kings. Now, we want to help you learn more about your new life in Christ, and we have a free gift for you called the Salvation Package. It's a book called He Did It All For You by Kenneth and Gloria. And there are also brochures to help you get started reading and studying your Bible. Just go to kcm.org to request your free copy of the Salvation Package, and we'll get that sent to you right away.
Thank you for joining us here in class today. Don't miss tomorrow, and we'll take up in these wonderful, wonderful truths about Jesus and from His covenant word. Until then, remember this, God loves you, and we love you, and Jesus is Lord. Come on, give the Lord a praise and an honor.
Learn more about who you are in Jesus and who He is in you. Request the Salvation Package, free on kcm.org/newlife.